John chapter 11. I'm going to read some familiar scripture to you today. If you've been in church any length of time at all, no doubt you've heard this chapter preached on. If you've been to very many funerals, there's a chance that there was a text taken from this chapter. And of course, if you read the Bible, you've come across this famous story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Amen. But I hope that you don't weary of it. It's a powerful, true story. Amen. John chapter number 11 and verse number 1. If you'd like to stand, I recommend that you do stand. Follow along with me as we read. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now in parentheses here, there's a little note just to remind you. Verse 2. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Just putting the family in context there. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I'm going to preach from this chapter, and we'll hopscotch on down through it as we go along, but that's enough to get us started. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us on this Sunday afternoon. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can come before you today, knowing, Lord, that you want to help us, and you have helped us even in this service. Lord, we have felt your Spirit. We've rejoiced to know that you have saved us. We have felt, oh Lord, your blessing, your power, your strength. Lord, and we thank you for the Word of God. We know that these are words of life. And we know that this Bible, Lord, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray that you would shine light upon us today, Lord. Lead us and guide us and speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to you today with the Lord's help on revival in the graveyard. Revival in the graveyard. But I want to tell you something in case you rush on ahead of me here thinking, yeah, I've heard this before. I know this story well. I know what happens at the end. And you have a tendency to tune out because of it. I'm not really preaching about Lazarus today. Amen. As amazing as that miracle is, and I will touch on it, but that's not where I'm going with this. Amen. We know this story, how that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead after he had been in that tomb for 4 days. And it is a powerful and amazing story. But I think that sometimes when we read through this chapter, we miss the fact that there were just as many amazing things happening outside the tomb as was happening inside the tomb. And it is in this cemetery that some of the most powerful lessons have been learned. And so I want to use this setting to tell you not so much about the resurrection of Lazarus, but to tell you that sometimes it's in the graveyards of our life, sometimes in the great, gray, dark times of our life, sometimes in the most difficult, tearful times of our life, that we learn the most about Jesus. Amen. And certainly we need a revival in our relationship with Jesus. Praise God. Amen. The untold story about Lazarus is eventually he had to die again anyway. Amen. We're all going by way of the grave unless that resurrection morn that Sister Blue sang about and the sound of the trumpet happens first. And so we know that that was amazing. But in spite of death, in spite of tragedy, in spite of difficulties, we need a renewed faith and a renewed confidence in the Christ that has saved us. And it may be that there's someone here today, especially You need a revival. You need a personal revival. You need, amen, not just to feel goosebumps going up and down your spine. You need, amen, something to happen down in your heart that rebuilds your confidence in God and helps you through the tragedies of your life. I want to tell you that I believe that this chapter teaches us some things about that. We're living in a world that's drowning in hopelessness. Amen. But I know that Jesus is the hope of our life today. Praise God. So let us look at this chapter, and I'll eventually be able to tell you why I see revival in this graveyard. First of all, I want to tell you, amen, that there's a part of this story that we're a little afraid to deal with. It doesn't match up with the things that we have come to believe about the Lord, and yet we can't ignore it. The fact of the matter is that Jesus was in a nearby village while Lazarus was sick and dying. The sisters sent a message to Jesus to come because Lazarus, whom thou lovest, amen, is sick. And we read on to find out in verse number 6 that when he had heard therefore that he was sick, that's Jesus, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. The reality is, Jesus did not come at the moment that he was requested to come. Jesus did not come immediately upon, amen, the prayer request. In fact, he lingers for 2 days still. And we can put together a time frame here and begin to realize that Lazarus was sent for on one day, and if you put it all together, he probably died that same day after the sisters had sent the message to Jesus. And Jesus stayed 2 days more, and then on the fourth day, he made the journey over and found out that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. It's hard, amen, to look at this pause of Jesus, Jesus' pause, that is, him delaying his coming, delaying, amen, his response. It is hard at times in our life to love a Lord that lingers, who doesn't come to us at the moment that we think that he should come. But the reality is, he still cares, praise God. Amen. And don't you forget, all through this story, it is not just because the sisters said so that Jesus loved him. They said, he whom thou lovest. Jesus loved Lazarus. And later on in the chapter, we're going to hear that repeated and find out that Jesus loved Lazarus and wept over his grave. I want to tell you, my friend, no matter what it is that you're going through today, it does not mean that Jesus doesn't love you. Amen. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care about you. He has his eye upon you. You are in his heart. You are in his plan. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, where he ever lives, to make intercession for us. He cares about us. Praise God. He cares about you. It is the devil's master plan to try to spin everything around and make us doubt the love of the Master, to make us think that God doesn't care. But I'm telling you, God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us, and he loves us with an everlasting love. And we cannot forget that when we read this story. Amen. Lazarus is loved. Amen. But Jesus pauses. I find some of the language here difficult to swallow, but we can't take it in little sound bites. We have to put it all together here. But when I read down through here and find out that Jesus tells his disciples in verse number 11, he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And the disciples, they don't understand he's talking about death. So they said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he must be doing better. So maybe we ought to just, you know, let him sleep. And so Jesus has to explain to them that Lazarus is dead. But he says it this way, verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes. Now, if I stop right there, hey man, that's a hard pill to swallow, so to speak. Amen. That Jesus said, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes. Amen. He's not glad that Lazarus is dead. We know the rest of this story. But think about that. Amen. At this particular moment, they don't know what's about to happen, Brother Kyle. They don't know the end of the story. And Jesus is talking this double talk. Amen. Lazarus is dead, and you're glad? Amen. But he said, I am glad for your sakes. It's not necessarily he is celebrating Lazarus' death, but he knows. He knows that something is going to happen in the graveyard that day that's going to benefit everybody, not just Lazarus. I'm glad for your sakes. Jesus sees ahead, amen, of the trial. He sees the outcome of it all. He knows the pressures and problems of our life. And it may seem like an unhappy story to us, but He knows that this story has a happy ending, praise God. And because of that, He sees ahead and He's glad of the outcome of it. Amen. I wish that I could tell you today, that I know exactly what you're going through and how it's going to turn out. I don't, but He does. Amen. And I'm going to tell you that He has a happy ending for you. He has a happy ending for us. It is going to turn out all right. He is going to bring us through. He's going to bring us out. Now lift your hands and praise Him today. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus' pause here is a little bit confusing to us. But I know this. Amen. That we always learn more about Him in the darkness than we do in the light. That somehow or another, when things are going well, amen, we don't feel like we need Him quite so much. But it's in those dark times in our life that we feel like Jesus has not come through for us, that He has ignored us, that He didn't show up, that He hasn't come through. Amen. Praise God. Y'all going to help me for a little while this afternoon? I'm going to tell you, I do believe that waiting, amen, is like being put on hold, you know, while you're on the phone. I don't like that, amen. Praise God. You're caller number 15. Your average wait time, you're probably going to get your phone call answered sometime within the next decade. I don't like being put on hold like that. Amen. I've got business to take care of and places to go and things to do. But the reality is that sometimes it does feel like we are being put on hold. But I can tell you, today, God's delays are not necessarily His denials. Amen. God's delays are not necessarily His denials. Amen. But He's working something in our life. And character is always more important than comfort. He wants to build something in us. He's developing us into His people. James says it's that the trying of your faith that worketh. And then he goes on to list all of the things that the trying of your faith is going to produce in your life. Oh, this is a hard thing. Amen. But we know that the struggle is part of the process. A little boy learned that one day when he happened by the mangled up cocoon with butterfly wings sticking out the side of it. And he noticed that it looked like the butterfly was struggling to try to get out of that cocoon. The little boy had learned in his science class at school that caterpillars go through that metamorphosis that turned them miraculously into a butterfly. I don't understand that, but it sure is amazing, isn't it? And so he saw what he thought was this butterfly trying to emerge from the cocoon. So he pulled out his pocket knife and he began to slice away at the cocoon. And when he did, the butterfly fell out under the ground, flapped his wings a few times, and then went silent and died. He stood there in horror to think that maybe he had killed the butterfly when his daddy walked up beside him and looked at the situation. He said, "Son, I can see what's happened here. It wasn't your pocket knife that killed him. It's that he wasn't quite ready to come out of the cocoon. The struggle of getting out of it is part of the process of strengthening the butterfly's wings." Amen. And so the struggle is part of the process of making us stronger so that we can go on to higher heights. Do you see what I'm trying to say to you today? Amen. I'm telling you that as hard as it may be for us to go through the troubles and trials of our life, Jesus knows that it's in those struggles that we learn our best lessons. And He is glad for our sakes. Amen. That the outcome is going to be a powerful outcome. It's going to be a revival in the end. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want you to notice not only Jesus' pause, but Jesus' pain. When he arrives at the scene, when he gets there to the cemetery, of course, immediately he is bombarded by Martha, who says, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But she's not the only one that says that. Mary comes a little bit later and repeats almost the same sentence. "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But they're not the only ones. The mourners who had gathered around to comfort the sisters a little later on, they say, amen, a similar thing. They said, some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" They all knew that Jesus had the power to heal them, and they were all disappointed because he didn't come and bring the healing with him. Amen. Oh, God help us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we see Jesus. He begins to be attacked by all of this doubt and all of this fear and all of this disappointment. You know what I found interesting? In the book of Psalms, we are told that He is a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen. How many of you have read that before? He is a very present help in the time of trouble. You know, that word "very" is important to that verse. That word "very" means especially present. You might even interpret it that He is more present in your time of trouble. Amen. That seems to indicate that, amen, He's more present in our time of trouble than He is when we're not in trouble. He's very present when we're in trouble. But isn't it interesting that those are the times that we think that He's so far away, that He's forgotten us and He's abandoned us and left us alone? But scripturally, my friend, the Bible tells us that He is especially present in our time of trouble. If we could lay hold of it, amen, Jesus really does care about us. Amen. And if you have doubts, then look in this chapter in verse 33 and you see, amen, Jesus groaned. In verse 33, Jesus was troubled. In verse 35, the shortest verse, amen, in the Bible, Jesus wept. Amen. Jesus is not emotionally detached from this situation. Jesus is not a million miles away from what is going on in the lives of these sisters and this buried son of their brother of theirs. Amen. Jesus feels their pain. He knows what it is like to lose a loved one. He loves Lazarus, and He feels for them. Amen. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I'm telling you, surely He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. I'm glad to report to you today that Jesus feels the pain of the problems that we're going through. Amen. So do you feel sad? He knows about it. Amen. Do you feel lonely? He knows. Amen. Are you afraid? He knows that too. Are you dealing with disappointments and battling with discouragement? He knows all about that. Amen. And He loves us. He loves us. Praise God. Now let me get to this this matter of revival in the graveyard. Jesus is there at the scene. Now he's got all of the people around, and they've told him that Lazarus is dead, but he already knew that. He told the disciples that before he even got there. Amen. Jesus knows, my friend. He knows. Praise God. But here, standing in the shadows of death, standing here in this cemetery, Lazarus is in the grave. I told you that I want to talk to you about what happens outside on the circumference of the cemetery. What happens in the hearts of those who are grieving. Now, I don't know how you believe about death, and so I don't want to get too theological and doctrinal here, but I really don't feel uncomfortable telling you that I don't think Lazarus is feeling pain right now. He's dead. I don't think Lazarus, amen, is feeling sorrow. He's dead. I don't think that he's had any sleepless nights. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. Amen. Come on now. Lazarus isn't feeling the grief. Lazarus isn't feeling the pain. Lazarus, amen, is dead. But what happens out here in the cemetery is remarkable, because I think that many times it's like what we go through. And by the way, amen, sometimes churches can resemble quite closely a cemetery. Amen. Praise God. As one pastor said, that he's got scriptural evidence that his church is going first in the rapture. Amen. Because the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. It doesn't matter whether it's a personal problem, struggle, and difficulty, or if it's a church in need of revival. I believe that we can have revival in the graveyard. Amen. Three things that Jesus does here for Martha and Mary too, but especially Martha, because he has a conversation with her first. First of all, it's the miracle that I want to call the miracle of reassurance. He says straight to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Amen. Don't fear this. This is not the end. How many of you have ever felt that reassurance at the funeral of a loved one? Amen. And felt the comfort of the Holy Ghost come into you and reassure you that you're going to see your loved one again. That brother, that sister that loved the Lord and lived for God, you're going to be reunited one day. Amen. This is the hope of a Christian. We know that in Christ we're going to see each other again, and death is not the end of the story. Amen. Praise God. And Jesus is reassuring her. And we all need reassurance. And I believe that probably one of the best benefits of a real revival is when we've been in our panic mode. We've been going through our times of fear and struggle. We don't know how we're going to get out of this. We don't know how we're going to go through it. But somehow the sweet comfort of the Holy Spirit of God comes to us and reassures us that even though you don't know the final outcome, you have a sense of peace come over you that it's going to be all right, that God has it all in His control. Amen. We need a revival of reassurance today. Amen. I don't know how this next election is going to go. I don't know, amen, whether Israel is about to really attack Iran or not. I don't know if we're about to break out into nuclear war, if we're going to have continued earthquakes. Amen. I think we've got some scriptural evidence that things aren't going to be so good in the last days. Amen. But I know this. I have a reassurance that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That He will always be with us, and He, my friend, is going to be with us every step of the way. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad to have the reassurance He's with us when we're walking the cold hallways of the hospital. He's with us, amen, when we're in the ICU and get the bad news from the doctor. He's with us, amen, when they call us in to give us financial counseling, amen, and tell us that it's looking pretty gloomy. He's with us even then. Praise God. I'm glad for the reassurance that we get in Christ when He wraps His arms around us and lets us know it will be all right. It's going to be okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I know some of you would love to run and shout dance these aisles like others did earlier. But right now, a real revival for you would just to be reassured, amen, that there's going to be a good outcome from the problem you're in. Praise God. But there's something else here. Martha says, I know that, Lord. I know He's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Amen. She still needed the reassurance. But now, amen, it's going to take on a new tone. She's going to get a revelation. I said earlier, and you know that it's true, we always learn more about Him in the darkness than we do in the daylight. Somehow it's in the difficulties and dark hours of our life that He reveals to us things about Him that we never knew before. Amen. We get closer to Him. We have a deeper, richer experience with Him in the outcome of our pressures and problems. And here, amen, my, what a revelation Martha gets. Jesus, after He tells her, talks to her about the resurrection, and she acknowledges that, He turns and looks her in the eye and says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God! I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. Amen. This is one of the seven I ams of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the living bread. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. I'm telling you, to get a revelation of the great I am is a great revelation. That means I am the answer. I am the solution. I am the way through. I am the Savior that you need. I am the healer come to heal you. I am the friend that you need, the companion that you lost. Simply put, I am, Jesus says. Oh, glory to God. What a revelation it is to know that whatever it is we need, He is. Hallelujah. Praise God. You remember in one place when Jesus said those words, I am, amen, they fell over under the power of that unction for Martha to receive this word, amen, I am. What a revelation. I believe, friend, that God wants to reveal Himself to you in ways that you've never known before if you will endure the trouble and the trial that you're in. The outcome of revival. Amen. A real revival. A real move of God. A real, amen, renewed experience with God is not only going to bring reassurance, but it's going to bring a fresh revelation of who He is. Amen. Praise God. And then, amen, restoration. The outcome of revival, restoration. Restoration, simply put, is to get something back that you've lost. For it to be restored to you. If you're talking about restoring old furniture, that means to restore it back to its, you know, new condition. Amen. Oh, praise God for the miracle of restoration. Now, I can tell you about Lazarus and what happens here. Because of the power of Jesus to change things. Because of the power of Jesus to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. Amen. I've heard this scripture preached so many ways. I tell you, as a youth camp preacher, I've seen preachers, you know, call somebody up and wrap them up in sheets and have them lay out and then reenact Lazarus coming out. And I tell you, we shout every time. Amen. We know Lazarus is coming out. Praise God. But it's powerful. It's powerful. He's been in the grave 4 days. A period of time has lapsed without the knowledge of how it's going to turn out. And then finally Jesus says, roll the stone away. Hallelujah. The time has come. Amen. The answer is on the way. Hallelujah. Lazarus, he shouts, come forth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then we see him. He comes bouncing out. Amen. jumping out because he's all wrapped up in those cloths. And it's later that Jesus says, loose him and let him go. I've heard it preached about salvation, sanctification, and all kinds of doctrines on the resurrection of Lazarus. It's amazing. It's a wonderful story. But the one thing we don't miss, we don't often get, and we sometimes miss, is not just that Lazarus gets his life back, but that Lazarus' sisters get their brother back. Amen. Praise God. They get something back. They have something restored to them. Oh, hallelujah. Restoration is revival. It's God, amen, bringing about the things we didn't think were possible. Amen. For Him to give us back something that we have lost. Maybe for some of you, it's not the death of a loved one. Maybe it's the death of your dreams. Maybe it's the death of your vision. Maybe it's the death of your own passion for the things of God. Is that why you find it so hard to sing? Why it's so hard for you to lift your hands and praise the Lord? Something has died inside of you. You've lost something. Wouldn't you like to get that back? Amen. Oh, what about that joy of the Lord, which is your strength? Would you like to have that back? Praise God. Wouldn't it be revival if suddenly your joy was restored to you? Your peace was restored to you. Amen. And most things that you thought you would never have again are suddenly, amen, brought back. Oh, hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? Amen. You can tell I'm not used to preaching in the afternoon. I keep saying tonight. Amen. But the way some of you were sleeping, it's about night, I guess. Revival in the graveyard. Amen. I'm looking forward to this week. I hope the Lord will help me to preach better each night than I've preached today. But I can tell you that I feel like the Lord has given me some messages for this week. And I'm asking God to help us this week in revival. And all I'm trying to say this afternoon is it may be that some of you have lost something near and dear to you that you thought you could never have back. And I'm not talking about Lazarus over there. I'm talking about something in your spiritual experience that needs restoration. The musicians would come, or Sister Judy, thank you. Praise God. I love the stories like that. Brother Guthrie told me a few months ago when he called, and he said, Brother Blue, we've been having revival around here. He said, today, a young couple in our church that we've known for months, it looked like they were heading towards the rocks. It looked like they were going to crash. It looked like, amen, it looked like divorce. Amen. But this particular Sunday morning, with tears in their eyes, they walked down the aisle and came to the altar and prayed through, and God restored that marriage. You don't think that's a miracle? You don't think the restoration of a home is as great a miracle as Lazarus coming out of the grave? They got back something that they thought was lost, that they could never love each other again or never care or never have happiness in their home. But they got it back, praise God. I said they got it back. That's revival in the graveyard. I'm going to be honest with you. The last few weeks, it hasn't been this way everywhere, but it just so happens the last few weeks, some of the places we've been, LaDonna and I have left shaking our head and wondering, is there any hope? I mean, some churches in some pitiful situations, pitiful, sad, splits, disagreements. They're in the graveyard, my friend, and it's not just because they're not shouting and dancing. They need help. It looks like a graveyard to me. They need revival.
Amen.
And I'm glad that we know the reviver today. Amen. We know, amen, that it may look like Jesus lingers. But when He shows up on the scene, my friend, He's bringing reassurance. When He shows up on the scene, He's bringing revelation. He's bringing restoration. It's not going to be like this. Amen. It's going to be better. Praise God. He's going to turn things around. It's going to be revival. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Whoa, glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that you know the story in Ezekiel where he had that vision of the valley of dry bones. And he said, and behold, they were very dry. Amen. Very dry. All disconnected. All divided and scattered. Amen. And then God asked him, can these bones live again? I tell you, Brother Prescott, I think that I would probably answer similar to what Ezekiel did. Thou knowest. Amen. I don't want to tell God, no. Amen. No, I don't think they'll ever live again. Ezekiel said, thou knowest. It doesn't look like it to me that these bones can live again. And God says, Ezekiel, preach to the dry bones. Prophesy to the dry bones. And so he did. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. You know a hopeless case this afternoon? Do you know somebody in your life, a friend, a family member, a neighbor that looks like it's a hopeless case? I'm telling you that the God of the graveyard can change that all around. And so he preached to the graveyard. He preached to the dry bones. And do you hear the clatter, the click? Amen. The sound of those bones coming together. Amen. It was a miracle of God. And he's not talking about real bones. He's talking about a backslidden nation of Israel. And he's telling them that they can live again. Praise. God. I believe that where there's God, there's hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Did you hear that? Amen. The leg bone was just connected to the hip bone. Did you hear that? I heard a stirring going on in there in the tomb. I see movement. Something's happening. Lazarus is coming out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with this. Some time ago, I heard Caleb Howard tell that he went to visit his brother graduating from boot camp, I believe Paris Island. And while they were on the base, Brother Caleb said that he kept seeing these signs all around the base that said, the noise that you hear are the sounds of freedom. There's another one. The noise that you hear are the sounds of freedom. And he was reading another sign, and an officer walked by him, and Brother Caleb said, excuse me, sir, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just curious. What do these signs mean? And the man took a moment to explain. He said, we do a lot of maneuvers out here on the base. There's shooting, there's explosions, there's planes flying all around. The neighbors got to complaining. The community got to saying it was too much noise. And they were trying to shut us down. Amen. Because they didn't like the noise. So, we generated a counter campaign. We put it in the paper. We did billboards and signs all around our campus. The sounds, the noise that you hear are the sounds of freedom. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. That shouting we saw a while ago, those people running up and down the aisles, you say, that's just a bunch of noise. But I'm going to tell you, it sounds like the sounds of freedom to me. It sounds like the possibility of revival. It gives us the possibility that somebody is coming out of the grave. The bones are coming together. And then revival can happen. Hallelujah. Would you meet me at the altar this afternoon? And why don't you bring your situation today? Bring your situation, whatever it is. I've covered probably way too much territory for this afternoon service, but you've been gracious. And that joke about you sleeping, I was just trying to be funny. I didn't catch anybody sleeping, Brother Prescott. Amen. But whether it's a personal thing or family thing, whatever it is that you have almost given up on, why don't you let God revive you right here in this graveyard? Come on now, bring it to the Lord. Talk to Him about it. And let Him reveal Himself to you about it. Let Him work it out. Let Him show you. Oh, glory to God. I know there's several churches represented here. I'd like you all to have revival. It's possible, you know. Don't give up on that. Amen. It may look like it's dead, hopelessly lost and dead. But you keep preaching and prophesying. You keep proclaiming the truth. You keep waiting on Jesus, waiting. And when He shows up, revival is a possibility. Hallelujah.